rules in radio because it's not a science. So therefore, you shouldn't have rules. But there's things that you can do which actually make your programmes more interesting, better focused, and a more entertaining listen for the radio listener, whoever that listener is, whether it's hospital radio, community radio, commercial radio, student radio, whatever it is. There are some certain things that you can do which will inevitably make your programme better. And I think radio has two aims. It's either to entertain or to educate. And if you can entertain and educate at the same time, then you've got the holy grail of what radio should be. So when asked to do a session on programme preparation, I failed. Because I did most of this on the train up yesterday afternoon. Which got lots of laughs on Twitter that you failed to prepare a session on programme preparation. So I said, yes. So what I decided to do, which was the easiest thing to do, was to actually ask people who are radio presenters for their advice and their tips on how they prepare a programme. So none of these are my original thoughts. This is all stuff that has been garnered on Twitter, which is now the greatest way to prepare a programme, because you've got people's views instantly and on tap, which you've never had in the past. So what I'm going to do is go through, we've got about 8 or 10 people who I know, who came back to me with how they prepared their programme and their advice for you guys. So there's some common themes that run through it, but we'll go through it. So Rob Howard, who is on Capital Northeast, and a guy, and very good as well, he was a Student Radio Award winner, and Danny Steele, who's on Juice in Brighton, their advice was listen to other people. And I think listen to other people is a good piece of advice, because actually the more you listen to other people, the more you'll work out, again, it's all about the parameters of radio, where radio stops being entertaining, because you as a listener will understand when you get bored or when you zone out. So I think listen to other people is good, but don't try and imitate other people. Because actually when you imitate other people, I then think, well, why would I listen to you when I can listen to the real thing? And I think I don't hear that as much with judging the hospital radio awards, but when I listen to the student radio awards and judge those, every year there's a slightly different tone to people. So we went through the Chris Moyles era, then we went through the Scott Mills era, then last year was the Greg James era, and all the girls are still trying to be Sarah Cox, and the boys are all now trying to be Zane Lowe or Nick Grimshaw. And I think, it's great to have radio heroes. I have radio heroes. I have people that inspired me and made me want to get into radio. Whether... my hero, it's really funny. My hero, I was trying to think the other day who my heroes were. My news reading heroes were Rod McKenzie, who was doing the Simon Mayo Breakfast Show, and Lisa O'Sullivan, who was an IRN newsreader, who nobody knows and never had any personality, but I just really liked Lisa's voice. Lisa now works with us, and she's as batty as a fruitcake. And I really wish she hadn't been my inspiration, because I now see how mental she is. When it comes to presenters, I really always used to, and it's really, it kind of shows, I think you're shaped by the radio that your parents listen to as well. So I, yeah. Gloria Hunniford and Jimmy Young were who I grew up listening to. But Simon Mayo, the kind of, I think a lot of people my age or around my age have got the Radio 1 breakfast show that defined them as and was the one that they listened to for it is Simon Mayo. And I think the great thing about Simon Mayo was, and the great thing about breakfast shows is they've got those features in them that make you want to stay in the car. And I think a great breakfast show has got features and benchmarks and things that just make you want to listen for just 5 more minutes. Or radio shows where you just can't stop because you need to know what happens. And for me, the defining moment for me was when I got a car and I was driving to college and I used to sit in the car to hear the end of Confessions, which was, you know, Simon Mayo still does on Radio 2, which is, again, the sign that it's hit a chord with the audience, that he's still doing it now. I then say don't ape or copy the radio presenters who are your heroes. I did, and when I was producing a show on Absolute, we largely did confessions with another name. I got a Sony Award nomination for it, so it's clearly fine. So listen to lots of people and try and, you know, don't just listen to one person and don't copy them, but try and listen to lots of people. Rob said on here, he put, listen to Hamish and Andy and try and be that good. Hamish and Andy, if you've not heard them, are an Australian radio pairing who are Australia's answer to Ant and Dec. They used to do a drive time show which was syndicated across Australia 5 days a week. It's now 1 day a week, but is brilliant. And if you hear lots of people on British radio, certainly in commercial radio, most of their ideas are nicked from Hamish and Andy, because they're brilliant. And they've got great chemistry as well. Daryl Morris, if you're up this neck of the woods, Daryl's on Key 103 in the Hits. He's just started doing Breakfast on the Hits. He's a brilliant, brilliant, really, really good young broadcaster. I think he's really funny. He put, what's your programme preparation tip? Live your life, 1 hour out and about is worth 10 hours at a PC. And I think that's going to be one of the themes that comes through, you know, what we talk about. Walk around. He says that he just walks around and just sees things and then he talks about them. And Joe Russell, who's on Free Radio in Birmingham and who I used to produce at Absolute, she put, note down everything you can, from a stupid road sign to a Coronation Street storyline to the fact that Yorkie bars are now smaller yet more expensive. And I think that's a really good thing. Just, you know, Jo, when I used to produce her, she used to have a notebook with her all the time. And we used to go to the pub quite a lot. And she'd write everything that we said down. And then some way or another, it would end up on the radio over the course of the next few weeks. She'd sometimes have to ring my other half and try and get them to decipher what we actually talked about, because some of it made no sense after 4 or 5 hours. Mm. But Jo is brilliant at just writing down stupid things she sees. And that, you know, if I had to sum up Jo Russell, and Jo did Breakfast on Trent for about 15 years, Jo and Twiggy. She then came to Absolute and did a couple of years with us, and then has done 3 years on Free. She is one of the broadcasters and radio presenters who's brilliant at just spotting the ordinary and finding her take on the ordinary. So, you know, if I had to sum up Jo Russell's material for the last 20 years, it is stupid road signs, Coronation Street, and Yorkie bars. But, you know, everyone has an opinion, and it actually, the one thing that makes you different, and makes your show different to any other radio show, is you, the presenter. Because often, now in a time of iPods, iPhones, streamed audio, internet on demand, all those kind of things, actually, you can get that music anywhere. And why would you actually sometimes choose to listen to the radio? Because the music might not be right. You might hear one song, and then you might hear a song that you don't like. But actually, the thing that makes your radio show different is you. So actually, make the most of you. And be proud to tell the stories. And tell things. And give your observations. And give your take on life. Because that's what makes it special. I found that the other thing that makes it, you know, that I used to do quite a lot was actually use my family. I used to be sat there with Jo on the radio. And we'd be talking about something my mum had said or done. And I could see my phone flashing as my mother's ringing me to launch a complaint. My mother, I think, was Nick. She worked out how to complain to Ofcom about her own son. we did what... And honestly, your parents, your family are the greatest source of material. And actually, everyone's got a family. So use that family. So topics that my parents created for me. One of them was really recently. I was talking to Jeff, who does the Home Time show in Absolute. And we were at an awards do, and John Craven went on stage to collect the award for Countryfile. And I said to Jeff, my dad announced the last time I was home that he thinks he looks like John Craven. And so then Jeff went, that's brilliant. My dad thinks he looks like Bergerac. And so he then went on air that day and did a feature, which was brilliant, you know. And it was, who do your parents think they look like, but actually they bear no resemblance to? And, you know, that's, again, a great example of parents providing material. My mum, another one that I did, was... I went home, I can't remember when it was a couple of years ago, And we're sat there, and we're watching Britain's Got Talent. So it's a Saturday night, I'm sat there, and my mum and dad. And my mum sat on the settee next to me. She goes, "Oh, by the way, I've made a decision." Oh, God, go on. She says, "We went to that christening the other day." And I went, "Okay." She says, "And Kimberly's daughter's got 3 middle names." Right. She goes, "I feel as though we've missed out, because we haven't got middle names." Well, you were the one that decided we weren't going to have middle names. And she says, "So I've given us all middle names." Mum, I'm 37, it's a bit late. I'm 71 and I've just decided my middle name's going to be Jane. Okay. And then I said, "So what's mine?" She goes, "Well, I was thinking of nothing, Paul Sylvester. Paul, how do you, well, you know, what do you, so you're going to take my maiden name, so your middle name's now Dale." Okay. Looked at me, "Dad, not having any of this." And so we then went on the radio and did, "How did your parents come up with the names that you got?" And we got a great response from people whose dads had been drunk and called them and gone in and just given the wrong spelling, or parents who disagreed and the dad went and got the birth certificate, obviously, and wrote down what he wanted. We got people whose dads had actually named their children after ex-girlfriends. And, you know, it's those things. It's the things that unite us all that are the most relatable and that deliver the best content. And sometimes when you're on the radio, there is this fascination of having lots of lights and lots of reaction. And sometimes it's not about that. All it is, sometimes a radio show is great when there's engagement. Sometimes, if you're a great storyteller, people just want to sit back and enjoy the story. So never always feel as though there's got to be a reaction to everything you do. Because sometimes people just enjoy a good story. Anyway, back to where we were. Rich Williams, who's on Radio Air, who does breakfast there. Again, another broadcaster who I think is a real up-and-coming talent. Understand your audience and only do something you believe in. And I think understand your audience is the most important thing for you guys. When Rich says it, he talks about understanding that his audience are in Leeds, so making his show relatable to the locality. And I think that's important for you guys. And I was so impressed with the amount of local content in the awards that I judged. The amount and the quality of the stuff that some of you guys did when it came to the Jubilee, when it comes to the Olympic torch relay, when it came to, you know, and football is something that polarises, either you really enjoy it or you really don't. But actually, some of the football coverage that you guys do is spectacular. And I think there's probably shows on your radio station where you need to go back and say, do you really understand the people that you're broadcasting to? And generally, it's probably the younger broadcasters who are not understanding the audience that they broadcast to, and I hold my hands up, I was guilty, absolutely guilty of that. I wanted to be on hospital radio because when I was young, my mum spent quite a lot of time in hospital, and I saw the fun that we had when somebody came round to ask for a request, and us as a family deciding what song my mum would have played when we all went home, and I saw that she would listen and it would be good for her to do that, and I remember doing that. And I remember thinking that was great. And obviously I enjoyed the music. And knowing that I wanted to be on the radio, I got involved. And actually looking back now, I could have massively understood the audience and made my show something less about what I wanted to do and more about what the audience would really want. And I think that is probably the thing that I would say. Make sure everybody on your hospital radio station understands the audience and understands the demographic and understands what they want. And, you know, some of the award entries that didn't focus so heavily on requests, I probably marked down a little bit, because I think, you know, that is the thing that hospital radio wants, and that is the unique power that hospital radio has. And I think the more you can get out on the wards, the more you can, you know, talk to the patients. I loved hearing the patients' voices on the radio. I think that's just so powerful. And hearing ordinary voices and hearing, you know, people who were poorly laughing on the radio. And I think, you know, as Rich says, understand your audience is really important. I think everybody who is involved in a hospital radio station should be out on the wards at least twice a year. even if that's all they do. You know, some people don't have request shows, but just going out there and seeing it is so important. So understand your audience, and only do something you believe in. If you are doing a link, or if you're doing a topic, or if you're presenting a program, only do it if you think that you can get away with it. Don't do something and don't do a topic or don't talk about something if you don't have an opinion or if you're not generally interested, because it shines through. That you can always tell, certainly with speech radio, when I worked on LBC, the rule was, and you know, Nick Ferrari, who some of you may know as a broadcaster, most people now know more for being on Alan Titchmarsh this morning, but he does a radio show in London on LBC, he does The Breakfast Show, and Nick will only ever do news stories and interviews if he cares. And you can say to Nick, this is really, you know, this is really interesting, why don't we do this? No. Why? I don't care. And how can I be interesting and how can I have opinion if I don't care? So I think caring about what you're doing and only doing stuff that's actually of interest to you is really important. David Lloyd, who's the programme director of Free Radio, and Jem in Nottingham, collect relatable, say out loud what other people are saying. I think that's a bit like one of the other things we've done. Pete Donaldson, who's one of my rising stars, absolute, don't overscript. Let bullet points be your buddies. And I think that's really important as well. Some people, you know, there is the thought of, you know, if you don't prepare, things will go wrong. And if you don't prepare, it won't sound good. But I think if you over-prepare, then actually it can sound really scripted. And it can sound really dull. And, you know, as one of the other people said, organised spontaneity is what you're after. And I think that's really important as well. And when Pete came to Absolute, he came from a global radio station where he was encouraged to do 20-second links and 30-second links. I said, I don't want you to do that. Because when you're doing a 20 or a 30-second link on local radio, then you may as well write it down. Because actually you're under so much pressure to get it right, and all it's about is the delivery. So you may as well script it. So he used to write everything down. And he just sounded forced. So we went through quite a few air checks with him where we listened to it. And he realised and he understood that he just sounded like he was reading, because that's effectively what he was doing. He was reading out loud. And actually, that's not what radio is about. And I think having bullet points, and certainly a bullet point which is the beginning, the middle and the end. So before you open the microphone, know what the beginning, the middle and the end of the link is going to be. Because if you don't, then that's when links start to wander and amble and go on too long because you're desperately talking, and while you're talking, it's, you know, no matter what anybody says, people cannot multitask. Brains are no good at multitasking. What your brain does is your brain works really quickly. So you can think and then you speak, you think and then you speak, you think and you read and then you think and then you speak. And actually, it's never doing more than one thing at any one time. What it's actually doing is working between lots of things really quickly. And actually, if you don't know where you're going, a bit like what I'm doing now, there is no end to what you're saying. I didn't plan what I was going to say there. And so we've ambled through some amateur psychology that I once picked up. But it is important. So when you're doing a link, what's the beginning, what's the middle, and what's the end? Before you open the microphone, teach people to know all of that. Your links will be shorter. And I'm not saying shorter in terms of 20 seconds and here's Kings of Leon, but I'm talking about more focused, and I'm also talking about the fact that actually for the listener, there's probably not going to be as much, because when you don't plan a link, you tend to keep talking. And the thing you've got to remember with all of that is, people will forget. If I was to say to you now, apple, banana, strawberry, grapes, melon, pomegranate, melon, grapes, pears, apples, raspberries, name a fruit that I just said. Apple.
Banana.
But you're all struggling to remember probably more than about two or three of the things that I said. And usually what people remember is the one with the weird name, so pomegranate, and usually the last one I said, which was raspberries on that occasion. Because our minds actually don't hold as a listener too much. And so actually, what you'll find is that, you know, people forget a lot of the things that you say. So always remember that the last thing you say in a link is the most important thing as well. But don't try to overload links. Right, Emma B. Lovely lady, used to be on Radio 1, is now on Smooth. She said, always have a beginning and an end and don't overprep. Holly James, who's on Capital, who left me and went to Capital. South Wales, so she went home, so I accept that. I like that, wasn't I? Can you follow me around? Well done, I like that. I'd like to have just someone whistling wherever I go. I'm from Scunthorpe. Can you generally do the Hobie sound? Polly says, and this is very Polly, treat the show like meeting your mates for coffee. And that's what it is. I think there is also the thing, and I think probably again it's the younger people who are in your radio stations who will think they are radio presenters, they are broadcasting. No, they're not, they're talking. If anyone ever describes themselves as a broadcaster, no, you're not, you're having a conversation. You're having a chat. And now it may be that you and the people, you know, you should never chat to the people in the studio with you if you present as more than one. You should chat, all of you, to the one person that's listening. Radio is about conversations. And the best conversations are the best radio. And how do you create the best conversations? You talk about the stuff that's relatable to you all. But I think that's really, really, really important, that actually you think of yourself as the friend of the person who's listening. And never try and think that there's more than one person listening. Because certainly when it comes to hospital radio, but most radio, I think it's something like 80% of all radio listening is done in isolation. You watch telly with your family, but generally you listen to radio on your own. So don't try and talk to lots of people at once. Only imagine that you've got one person listening. And I think if you do that, and you have that conversation as you would, as a one-to-one, then you'll do really well. When I was working at LBC, we had a new presenter called Daisy. She'd come from working on the Daily Politics. She went on to be ITV's political correspondent and economics editor. And she really struggled for a while because she was used to doing telly, where the telly thing is, it's all big and you're talking to 8 million people or whatever it is. And we tried to say, you're only talking to one person. So what we did was we got one of those massive teddies, and you know, it's more important probably with speech radio than with music radio, and we sat it in the chair opposite her. And she did about 2 months of just talking to that teddy. And she never actually looked up at the gallery of producers, tech ops and whatever. She just talked to the teddy. And she got infinitely better because she was having a conversation. Now, like, you know, a bit like most radio, the teddy didn't answer back. Just enjoyed, you know, that would be really, that's Ted the movie. But she actually got used to having a conversation and a one-to-one conversation. We also sell her take pictures, faces of her relatives onto the front of her, which was a bit sick. Polly also says, do star jumps and air punches. That's what happens at Capital, kids. Howell from Rock FM, get the audience to buy into your show and develop themes. And I think that's really important as well. And I think that relates to audience relatability. Some ideas that I kind of wrote down as well. Don't use prep sheets too much. There's lots of websites, and there used to be books which were full of prep sheets, which were full of on this day in history and celebrity birthdays and topics that you could do on your radio shows. Don't overuse them, because they'll never elicit any form of response from the audience apart from, ah. It's true though, isn't it? Matthew Corbett, 64 today. On this day in 1984, Bette Gilroy married Alec Gilroy in Coronation Street. Oh. It's fine, but it's not going to be the most enthralling radio you'll ever do. As I say, I go back to the original thing. The one thing that makes your radio show different is you. So you deliver the content. I once worked with a radio consultant, again at LBC, who said, you should always bring to your show three things. I think this is quite good. Something that's happened to you, something that you've overheard and something that you've seen. Now, that scene could be, it could be something you've seen on TV, it could be something you've seen online, it could be something that you've seen just walking down the street. But if you bring those three things to your radio show, then it will be unique, as long as you bring a mixture of the three. So, something that's happened to you, something that you've overheard, and something that you've seen. And I think that's, you know, that's a really important one. And that will make your show much better than if you tell us what happened on this day in history in 1864. Cross-promote other shows. Find out what other people are doing. And I think there's always a tendency in hospital radio, well, in all radio, do you know what? There's not a radio station in this country that cross-promotes as well as it possibly could. Even, you know, great shows like Radio 2, when was the last time you heard, you know, Chris Evans doing a great tease for something that was coming up on Jeremy Vine at lunchtime? When you listened to Radio 1, when was the last time you heard Nick Grimshaw telling me what Greg James was going to be doing at drive time? Nobody ever teases good. And if your radio station isn't very good, ask people what's going to be on their next show. Because you're a team. You make, you know, no radio show is an island. It shouldn't be an island. So if nobody cross-promotes your show, there's one thing to do. You cross-promote somebody else's first and make them feel guilty, and then they'll cross-promote yours. But then somebody who's listening might think, oh, okay, I've not heard that show. You know, certainly, you know, the specialist music programmes that some of you guys do, which I was really impressed when I was judging. You know, if I knew there was a specialist music show about, you know, songs from Theatreland, I may actually choose to listen to that. But you might not know that if you're listening on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and it's requests. You don't know that at Thursday night at 9 o'clock there is that. So actually, you know, cross-promote. It's for the good of the station and it's for the good of the audience. Because actually that is when I go to the whole point of entertain and educate. We've talked about family is the best material. When you're doing your show, don't tease. You know, here's some things that I really hate. Don't list lots of things that are coming up. I heard that on a couple of the award entries for Station of the Year. Coming up today, we've got this, 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 and we've got this. Don't do all of that. Tell me what's coming up in the next 20 minutes. And if you can hold people with one great tease for 20 minutes, then in another 20 minutes, you've got another opportunity to hold them for another 20 minutes. And if you hold them for that 20 minutes, then you can do it again. Because again, people won't remember everything that's in the list. And some radio shows spend too much time teasing and not enough time actually doing the bloody content. And you end up in a thing where the listener doesn't really feel very fulfilled. But if you actually get on, do it, and then tease the next thing, I think that's really important. Ask yourself, would you say that in the pub? And I think that's a good rule to have. It's that whole thing about conversation and mates. You know, I heard lots of radio where they go, right, the time's 9:17. What the hell time is 9:17? You wouldn't, if somebody said to you, what time is it? You say, oh, just after 9:15. That'll do. You know, that's great, because that's what real people say. You know, the ones that always make me laugh, of which Sean and I have had plenty of experiences, when you interview policemen. Well, I was proceeding in a northerly direction, and and you hear that and you think, no, be a human. And so, you know, always try and remember and listen to other people. And, you know, I think that's constructive feedback and criticism to other people who are on the station as well. Talk as if you're talking to your mates in the pub. And if you hear someone saying something that they wouldn't say in the pub, tell them. Because it just makes, you know, that's when they become a broadcaster and not a host. Are you a broadcaster or are you a host? I'm the host. I'm having a party and you're invited, so come and join me. I'm not a broadcaster. I'm not standing there with a megaphone or a tannoy system. And I think, you know, the would you say that in the pub is a good thing. Right. I've created, using all of those things, the perfect radio host, in my opinion. I've put two of my own in there, so forgive me for that. When it comes to passion, understanding the audience and understanding the time of day at which he is broadcasting and what that means to his audience, Chris Evans is the king. That's why he's the most listened to radio show in the UK. Because he understands what people want at breakfast and he's up for it and he's still got all of the passion. When it comes to interviewing, there is nobody this is all in my opinion, again there's no right and there's no wrong, no better interviewer in the UK than Kirsty Young on Desert Island Discs. And I spent ages, I only found Desert Island Discs relatively recently because I always thought I was too young for it. Oh no, I'm not. Oh God, Desert Island Discs. I'm like a crack addict with it at the moment. And I find the best ones are the people who I never expected to like. And generally they're older women who are now dead. So my favourite ones are Thora Heard. Oh God. Oh. Hilary DeVay, not dead. Don't worry, not breaking news. Hilary DeVay is alive. She was great. Maureen Littman's, if you ever get a chance to go back and listen to Maureen Littman's, just very funny. And Dawn French. Dawn French is, well, I was walking down the street crying. Oh God, it was dark. But Kirsty Young should be sent into war zones, right, as a way of actually getting stuff out of people. Because her interviewing technique is so simple. She asks very short questions. And she asks very open-ended questions. And then she'll tip in with just so how did that make you feel? And those are the best interviews. If you hear an interviewer who is asking very long questions, they're rubbish. Good interviewers ask very short questions, but listen to the answers. And I think Kirsty is very good at that. Interactivity. Paul O'Grady. His Sunday show is a weird one. I think it's wasted. I really do. I think it's a silly time to put him on. I'd have him on where Wogan is right now if I was controller of Radio 2, which I'm not. Paul O'Grady, the way he turns a simple letter or a simple email from a listener into 10 minutes of material. And the fact as well that he does Dead Dog Corner. Brilliant. But he manages to do something that's quite... And then he's got, like, when listeners rant about their neighbours as well. It's just brilliant. It's really warm. Again, it's understanding his audience and playing to his strengths and turning interactivity and making listeners want to get in touch because of the warmth, generosity, but wry smile with which he delivers all his content. So that's that. Speed of mind and sheer funniness is one of my own, which is Frank Skinner, who works on Absolute on a Saturday morning, does a 3-hour show. And the amount of work that Frank puts into that is staggering. Again, he works at it, and every Saturday is like a routine for him. He does effectively 3 hours of comedy with some records thrown in. And, you know, when I describe his show, I say it's like a caffeine kick, because he comes on and it's bang, 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 bang. But he has two co-hosts, and the speed with which he can deliver a one-liner off the back of their comments is brilliant. The next one will be polarising. Some of you may love her, some of you may not, some of you may not even know who she is. Storytelling and relatability. Now, and only now, I think Sarah Cox on Radio 1 and a bit on Radio 2 is phenomenal. Sarah, when she did the Radio 1 breakfast show, was too young and was dreadful and was living a life that was utterly unrelatable to her audience because she was going out 6 nights a week and getting absolutely hammered with rock stars and with musicians and with other radio presenters. Now, if you listen to Sarah, it's all about finding Lego in her hair, taking the daughters to brownies, the fact that she is a shit mother, or a slummy mummy. And there is a certain... And that's why I like it, because I'm not here... And it's about her going camping and having to come home 2 days early because the kids are tired, all the stuff's wet, They've had a really terrible time and they've got home and actually she's had a bath and it's a lot better now. And that's the kind of thing I think is it makes her a brilliant storyteller and actually really relatable. Probably not to a Radio 1 audience at all, but more to a Radio 2 audience. And I've picked two people for music passion. I think, you know, music is a lot about what you guys do. And I think you've got to be passionate for it and you've got to know your music. And if you know your music and you're passionate about it, brilliant. Steve Lamacq on Six Music is the ultimate in terms of being passionate about his music. And again, this I apologise, I picked one of my own, is Ronnie Wood, who does a show for Absolute and Absolute Classic Rock. And Ronnie starts, Ronnie's prep is brilliant. He just listens to music and listens to songs all day long, and then he picks whichever ones he likes the most and talks about them on the radio. And it's as simple as that. So don't, that's the thing about over-prepping. Now granted, you've not all had 50 years of life in excess on the road with the Rolling Stones to come up with those stories. And quite frankly, some of them will make your hair curl. But that's, you know, Ronnie is talking about why he loves songs and what makes him love the songs that he plays. And I think that's, you know, that's really important because he actually has an opinion about them. It goes back to that whole thing. Have an opinion about it. Don't do it or don't talk about it if you've not got an opinion or a story or a link or a connection to it. That's kind of it, really. I'll leave you with, obviously we'll do questions and stuff like that. So my top four tips are, ask questions of the audience. Talk to the audience in a conversational style. It's a one-to-one. If you were having a conversation with your mates, you'd ask for them for their opinion. And they don't always have to respond verbally or call you or email you or tweet you or text you. Sometimes they'll just say it in their heads. Enjoy it. It's fun. It's sometimes the best prep you can have. Sit down with people beforehand. Sean and I used to spend a lot of time prepping for these things in the pub. And actually, I didn't actually read out most of the people who just said to me, go to the pub and get drunk. And that's the best show prep. Sometimes it is. Not if you're a newsreader. Oh, too many of those. Understand your audience and be relatable is my second, is the third, but I'm going upwards. And my number one tip is live your life and note it down. You're the thing that makes your show unique. And you're the thing that makes your show special. Because the music we can get anywhere. That's it, really. Those, I don't know how long I've whittled on for. What time is it? 12. Oh, perfect. Any questions or any thoughts, or do you disagree? Please violently disagree with everything I've said. Yes.
Hosting to patients, sometimes we sort of said, don't really say what you've done because they're in bed, ill, and you're going, oh, today this is what I've done. Isn't it exciting? And actually, because they're so you've got to be a bit sensitive as well.
I think yeah, the obviously, there's no right and there's no wrong, and there's a balance to all of this. But actually, I think if you are in bed and if you have had an operation, you want to know what's happening in the outside world. Because you're in a really sterile environment where you see people, well, hopefully in a sterile environment, who knows. You want to know what's happening in the outside world. You want a bit of normality. Because let's be honest, if you've been in for a long time, all the people that come and visit you have run out of things to say. Because they've asked you what your dinner was like. They've asked you if the nurse has been around. You've had the conversation of that you only need to ever drink Horlicks when you're in hospital. And actually, a bit of normality and a bit of every day, and you know, listening to other people's conversations, I think, you know, is probably a welcome rest or a welcome break. But I agree with what you say. There's a balance to everything. Yes, sir.
Obviously, patients are the reason why we're doing this. Would it be wrong to put a show on, because we're talking about music passion now, about a particular band, you know, that I relate to or somebody relates to, would that be totally wrong just to focus on their music for a show?
I don't think so. As long as you actually, you know, you're never going to, again, radio is not an exact science. You're not going to please all of the people some of the time. So actually, occasionally, and if it's not in the kind of peak time, it's better to really, really entertain a small section rather than have a bland service for, that lots of people will kind of dip in and out of, you know, for 10 minutes. You know, actually, you'll get some people who would listen for the whole hour. On one of our stations, you know, I apologise for this, but obviously it's the things that, it's the experience that I have. We have a show on Absolute Radio 60s on a Sunday morning, which is just 2 hours of Beatles music. And it actually delivers some of the best listening figures in terms of the time spent listening of any of our stations across any of the week. Because the people that listen to it tune in at 10 o'clock and they listen all the way through till 12 because they love the Beatles. And Jeff, who hosts it, is passionate about the Beatles. And he tells stories and he makes it interesting. And he'll play, like once, he did a whole link about, he went off and researched the shoe sizes of all of the different Beatles. You know, and then he played a version of Love Me Do, which was a version that the Beatles did in German. And then he plays at least one of the songs in this Beatles show every week is actually somebody covering the Beatles in an interesting way. And so actually, just because you're doing a really, really specialist show, it can have broad appeal by the way you host it and the way you give it texture and the stuff that you actually do within it. So no, I don't think, you know, you look at, you know, even Radio 1 and Radio 2, they don't put specialist programmes like that on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but they put them on out of time. But if you're going to do that kind of show, then you've really, really got to get people to cross-promote it and make it an appointment to listen, because that's what it is. Because it's something that people would go, oh, do you know what, I really like the Rolling Stones, I'm going to listen at 10 o'clock for this Rolling Stones special that you're hosting, looking at, you know, the Rolling Stones during the 60s or the Rolling Stones during the 70s. Or, you know, there's a whole series of it. But you've got to get people to cross-promote it, because that kind of thing, outside of peak time, makes it an appointment to listen. If any of you are kind of programmers or run your stations, and I hope you do this, and if you don't, I'd advise you to do it, because some people will use it and some people don't. Every day at work, I send out an email to all of our presenters, which has got everything that's coming up in the next 24 hours, everything that's coming up in the next 48 hours, and everything that's coming up in the next 72 hours, and even some things that are coming up next weekend. And actually, when that gets sent out, some presenters don't use it, fine, do you know what, it's not a problem, other presenters do. And actually, get, you know, with programmes like that, get your programmer to send an email to all the other presenters saying, could you give this a mention? And by the way, tell me what's coming up on your show. And then you'll start to get that kind of different shows talking about other shows. And that just makes you a more well-rounded, you know, radio station. And as long as everyone can see that their stuff is getting talked about, then they will talk about other people's stuff as well. But yeah, do shows like that. Because that's what makes you different. And that's, you've got the freedom to do that kind of stuff, to do it. Any other questions? Oh, well, yeah. Have a lovely time. Yes?
As there's like more competition than ever with like in digital radio, etc.,
yep.
What, in your professional opinion, is what should hospital radio stations be perhaps prioritising for content that can't be found elsewhere on like ever increasing numbers of other stations and channels?
Well, I think local is really important. And I heard lots of local in the stuff that you guys did for the awards. Because, you know, I don't quote me on this, but as radio consolidates, commercial radio consolidates, you're losing the local. You know, Lynx FM is one of the last bastions, and I don't say that just because I used to work for them, of great local commercial radio. But some places, you know, have really lost that. And actually, you can be that local radio station now. You can provide the link to the community. So anything like the, you know, the Jubilee coverage, the Torch Relay, I go back to the football as well. Some of the football content was really interesting and really good. And, you know, interviews with local people that you wouldn't get anywhere else. And, you know, again, it's about the speech. It's about the speech content that you guys do, I think, that's really important. And I prioritise that kind of stuff. Look at what isn't what your local commercial radio station probably used to do, but doesn't do anymore, because it's got to get away 16 songs and only three links an hour, which are 15 seconds up to a ramp where they hit the ident before going into the adverts. Do all the things that they used to do and that made you listen to them and made you want to get into radio when you were listening to, you know, as I was listening to Viking FM. Before Lynx FM. All those things that made me really passionate about being on the radio. And of course, requests. You know, and actually, it's probably only now that I really, again, realise how important the request element of that is. And now, you know, so many of you have got the technology to get out on the awards and broadcast live from the awards and broadcasting quality, which is just, you know, great. So do all of that, because that is a one-to-one conversation. It really is. And it's making someone feel special. It's making someone... go back to, sitting on the edge of the bed when my mum was in hospital. And the fun that we had in picking the songs that she was going to have played. And then going in the next day and her telling me that song had been played. And how you could see that it made her smile. And realising almost the chemical reaction that led to her feeling just a little bit better. That's what you guys are there for, and that's the unique thing that you can do that nobody else can do. So never ever, you know, lose that, because then you're starting to become self-indulgent and you're starting to do it for yourself rather than for the audience.
I've always had it drummed into me. I've done hospital radio for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. I've always had it drummed into me to spread out requests throughout the show. So if you're doing like a 3-hour show, spread them out, but are requests more important than the music that you want to play?
Yes.
Should it be the patient's choice comes first?
Yep, always. I always got taught, again, back to when I was doing speech radio, 3-hour drive time show. What we're going to do is we're going to save this brilliant bit for 6:30. Why? Always start with your best material. Never hold material. Always start. Work out when your peak time is, and if you've got a show that starts at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, don't hold it, because there's a chance people will tune in. If they know your show starts at 8, but actually you're not going to do the request until 9, they'll listen at 8. Oh, really? Well, when's my request? Where's my request? Where's my bit? Oh, it's not coming up till 9. Oh, do you know what? EastEnders is on. Next. And they'll go and they won't actually listen. And you've gone to the effort of going on the wards to get the material. They've gone to the effort of giving you it. And then, more importantly, listening. Just, you know. And the other thing is, content generates content. So actually, if you go on at 8 o'clock and bang, we've got all these requests coming up. We're going to be doing requests until we run out. But you can still request a song now. So you start and you work your way through your requests, but you give people the option to keep picking requests, then actually, some days they will, some days they won't. But I wouldn't hold it. Always start with your best material, and that is your best material. And then if you've got time at the end, then do the other stuff. Would be what I would say. I don't know.
One of the things that we find with our system of Hospedia is that we can give a patient a request quicker than local radio can. Because if your visitor's on the ward, phones through the request, the first question perhaps we'll get is, what time will you do that? And we can immediately say, well, this one's got 3.5 minutes to go, it'll be next.
Oh, brilliant.
You know, and that's something that you can offer that local radio will never do.
Yeah.
I've done it when I've been up on the wards, and a patient has said, I'm going down to theatre in about 10 minutes. Could you play me? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, not a problem. Pick up their bedside phone, call the studio and say,
get it on next.
Go down to theatre. Can you slap that on next for me?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can do it. This gentleman in front is quite right.
Yeah.
We're faster than local.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's brilliant.
I'd finish up and say, you wouldn't get that on a local BBC, would you?
No.
You'd make a joke about it.
Well, you'd have a networked evening show.
No. Well, we've got a marvellous system where we've got a great button on all our things. If they press that play button, it rings in our studio. Yeah. Pick up the phone, and I will say, you know, you can have a request quicker than you, as you said, yeah, on national radio. Mm. Because we can have it on as soon as we've got the record off the shelf.
And chances are, they can have the song that they want, rather than songs from a very short list of songs, which the programme controller has designated are applicable songs. Mm. You know, not going to mention the commercial brand, but, you know, it's more music variety. really? Mummy's is still Jocelyn Brown and somebody else's guy? Really? But yeah, you're right, and that's your strength. You know, going back to the question back there of, you know, what is the strength? It's things like that.
And taking the point about requests, when we joined our local radio station, across all our equipment was, this is the station for the patient.
Mm.
And that was the logo that we had.
Yeah, and I think you need to continue to drum that message into people, and certainly when new people join. And as I say, I am absolutely guilty of doing this. I used hospital radio as a means to do the right thing, but as a means to get into radio, which probably meant I was doing 65% of it was for my own benefit and 35% of it was for the patient, and that was the wrong way around. And I think, you know, as programmers, you've got to keep an eye on the new presenters that come in to make sure they're doing it for the right reasons. And everyone will, because nobody really can be asked to go and give up their own time all the time. And you'll see people fall away if they're really only doing it for themselves. But I think, you know, making sure people go on the wards is really important, even if it's twice a year. Meet the people, meet the patients. Any other questions?
Just a curious one. We're talked a lot about requests. Let's say, for example, a person asked for, say, 3 or 4 songs. Would you split those 4 songs up, or would you play them all in one go and get that person out of the way? I know it may sound a cruel way.
They could be dead by 10. No, because give everyone a turn.
Yeah.
Get through as many people as you can. Because
yeah,
there is that whole thing about a one-to-one conversation, but actually, you've got to think of it as a one-to-one conversation,
yeah,
but actually bring everyone along with you.
Yeah.
So I would split them up. Right, we'll play yours now,
yeah,
and we've got, you pick some more, so we'll come back to you if
that's
we've got
what,
time.
That's one that I'm saying. Absolutely. We could then keep them entertained for, say, the full hour,
yeah,
or for, like, say, those 10 minutes. I mean,
no,
my personal choice would be yours, where I would split them up.
Yeah. Also, when you're going out and collecting requests, think Bridget Jones, okay? I want you all to go back and think Bridget Jones. Take their name and an interesting fact about them. If any of you have seen Bridget, just me and that lady. when she was... Why am I doing a Bridget Jones anecdote? When she was introduced to people, she'd say, "Hello, I'm Bridget Jones, I'm 27 and I'm blah, blah, blah." And it was always, give them the name, the age and an interesting fact. But actually, you know, what you'll do by getting something about the listener whose request you're getting is you're making them seem human in the minds of the other people who are listening as well. It's all about painting pictures. You know, radio is only about painting pictures. Television's too easy because you can see it.
Yeah.
And you can conjure up a lovely image of somebody, or, you know, you can paint a picture of what you imagine. It's a bit like when you know, remember the first time that you saw your favourite, a picture of your favourite radio presenter, right? They were never as good looking as what you imagined them to be. Yeah. Christ, Simon Mayo was never what I expected Simon Mayo to look like. Sean, anyway. but actually, if you find out, you know, so-and-so, when she gets, you know, it could be as simple as what you're looking forward to most when you get out of hospital. Or you know, what was your favourite subject at school? What school did you go to? You know, what would you be doing on a Tuesday night if you weren't laying here in hospital? And actually, you'll find, just by asking them a couple of questions, you'll find out something that will help to make your request programme just that little bit better. And it will make it more interesting for the people whose request it isn't, because they'll, you know, they'll find out a little bit about, you know, somebody. It might turn out they actually know them. Or if they say, oh, you know, what street did you grow up on? Or what school did you go to? Oh, I went to that school as well. And it's about that shared community, because the radio audience is a community. Any others?
Yeah, can I just say, when you said about, don't, you know, about peaking, start with your best, who is it that decides, because you've got a list of requests, who is it that decides what is your best material? Probably it's the patients.
I mean, that was when you, that probably didn't relate necessarily to the request side of things. If you're just doing a show that is just you on the radio doing a traditional show, and who decides on the best material? Talk to people. Use somebody as a sounding board. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the other. There should, you know, I hope, or, you know, probably on most occasions, there's somebody else in the radio station who you could just say, oh, I want to talk about this, this, and this. What would you say was the best? And then you'll learn what's the best. And I would always say go for the personal stories. But there's a great way of telling personal stories that makes it engaging to people as well. And that is by asking them questions. There's a simple rule that I learned, which is there should always be four U's before an I in any radio story. Okay? Because actually, if you say, this weekend I went to Blackpool and I had a great time and I saw the tower and I played on the slot machines and I won 40 quid, but then it didn't pay out, so then I had to go and do this, and I had to, and then it does become a bit like me, 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 me. But actually, how do you make it relatable? You say, oh, have you ever been on a slot machine and then you've it's not paid out, and so you've accidentally shoved the slot machine and then it all comes falling out the bottom, but the alarms have gone off and then you've got 16 security. Have you ever done that? Because this weekend I did, and here's my story, and actually it just becomes a lot more engaging and a lot more relatable to that person, rather than it just being, and I did this, and I did the other. So use lots of questions in the stuff that you talk about, because that just makes it nicer, makes it a lot more warm.
I guess even in requests, if you are asking the question of an interesting fact about a listener, if a listener gives you a really interesting fact for a patient, make that request first with your most interesting fact, because it might roll into a conversation. Scunthorpe.
Oh yeah, is this the bus driver story?
Yeah. What's the song? Glenn Miller? Sorry? Matt Monroe. The patient requested Matt Monroe, and then said, oh, he used to be a bus driver. So they mentioned this on air, and suddenly this guy, another patient, brings up, who remembers he was a bus driver, was on his bus.
Was on his bus.
And he lived locally, and it began a whole snowball effect of this debate, all about Matt Monroe, because they played that request and told that fact. Mm. So if you get a listener with even a list of 20 requests, if one of them's got a really interesting fact, I'd put that top of the show.
Because
that could then become more of a show than just requests.
Well, that's it. Content generates content, rather than it just being a jukebox.
One thing I've noticed as well, that, and it's a good tip to give, and that is when you're on air, and I'm very guilty of doing this, you know what I'm guilty of, this drinking tea when you're on the air, because it dries your throat out. It's better to either drink water, or in my case, when I can,
beer. I often find that gin looks like water. And, you know, there is that caffeine does dry your throat, and you shouldn't drink that kind of stuff. Water, gin. It's the same as, you know, some people prefer to stand up, some people prefer to sit down. Right, I think we're nearly there. Any final questions? Funny you should say that, madam. Saturday mornings, 8 till 11 on Absolute Radio, or 9 till 12 on any of the digital stations. Yeah, you could do. Or you can download the podcast at Absolute Radio. I write it in my sleep. Look, any other questions or any other help or any other advice, I can offer them around all day, so just give me a shout.
Has anyone got a Any?
No.
No.
Oh, God.